Blog Talk Radio.
I believe the Lord is turning it around for me. Sooner or later, it won't be long. You got to claim it. Just for a little while, as we continue to listen to Vashawn Miller in the in the background, I'd like to welcome you all to the time of transfer at this hour, and it's a special edition of Time of Transfer because we're going to tie it in with our early morning prayer line at the same time. I want to try something different today. I'm just experiencing a turnaround, and I wanted to share as the faith and the walk with God get even solid. Even through the trials and tribulation, that's something that you still need to understand. You still got to believe that God is working things out in your favor, regardless of what it looks like or what it seems to be. But I believe right now that God is turning it around. I don't know about anybody else right now. I'm feeling a little churchy right now. I can't vouch for no one else, but I believe that God is still on the throne, and I believe that God is still who he say. I believe that God is still my Jehovah Jireh, my Jehovah Nissi, my Jehovah Rapha, my Jehovah Shalom, my El Shaddai. I believe that God is my Jehovah God, and since I believe this and my faith is grounded in him, I believe right now that God is turning this thing around. I don't know about anybody else. I've been through the storm. I've been through the rain. I have seen the sunshine. I have seen the glory. I have been down in the valley. I have been in the gutter. I have been in Lodabar. But somehow or another, at this particular time in my life, I believe God is still turning it around for me. See, it ain't always be like this. I need to touch and agree with somebody that understand that sometimes things will get the best of us, but it won't always be like this. Sometimes you have to find yourself in a dark corner and realize with your back against the wall that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of the sound mind that will make the right decision to do what he asks you to do. Sometimes we get caught up in our own self and we do things that we want to do and we have a little pity pat. But I believe right now, like no other, God is turning around. Thank you for taking your time out. I know we had a long worship experience, but something about worship. See, I often tell people that when we talked about Israel in the fourth chapter, the first verse, the adversary of Judah and Benjamin, they was trying to steal the praise from us. They were trying to steal the praise from the people. They weren't just trying to stop them from building the temple, but they were trying to steal the praise, and they were trying to steal the word that they have. Anytime somebody can take something from you that God has given you that means so much to you, then you need to stand up and want to fight. See, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and by violence, we need to take that thing by force. Not the physical force, but we need to understand how to fight Satan in his cunningness, in his deceitfulness, his manipulative, his old crafty ways that he used. And I say this, and I'm going to keep on saying it till I go on to glory. He only attacks us wherever our appetite and compassion is. If we show compassion or have an appetite for something, you're going to find Satan right there in the midst of it. Sooner or later, good God Almighty, you take your own pick. Sometimes we just got to stay the course. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you on this day. Thank you for strength. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Oh, God, right now, thank you for all you have done for ministry at this time. Oh, Father, we had some good days and some bad days. We've been through some trials and tribulation. Father, the naysayers doubted every time you sent us out on a mission. But, Father, somehow or another, you always let the people see your glory. Right now, Father, as they tune in all over this world, we say, let your people see your glory right now. Let them feel your glory, Lord. Let them feel your glory move right now, Lord. Oh, God, no weapon form against us shall prosper. You did not say that it wouldn't form, but you said it won't go nowhere. In other words, we have a fixed fight, but we got to understand, what battle are we fighting? Good God, somebody shout glory around me today. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as I go through this next level of maturity, bless my loved ones, Lord. Lead them right now in the right path of righteousness. Let your anointing fall all over their family. Oh, Father, right now, touch my family. Touch ministry like never before. Oh, God, we just ask you for your glory. Let your people see your glory today. We thank you for another opportunity to continue to do ministry. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity, because we never take it lightly to go out from your people. As we come together in this network, Lord, we know the trials and the tribulations are going to be even severe. Father, they are severe right now even more. Father, sometimes I thought I was going to quit, but you seem fit to remind me the only reason why I'm in this situation I'm in today, because it was me that did not open my mouth. So, Lord, I say thank you for the opportunity. Now, Father, I plead the mercy right now. Have your way, Father, with a repentant heart. Blot out all the iniquities and transgression among us, Lord. Everything that's not of you, Father, we ask you to move it right now. In Jesus' holy name, this is our prayer. Thank you all for tuning in to the time of transfer. Thank you for taking out your precious time. We don't want to prolong this word any longer, but we want to thank you all. And always tune in to Up Top Ministry at www.up-tm.org. Send in your many prayer requests and speaking engagement requests for the man of God or for ministry period, and ask ministry you want to do. If you need covenant, you want to partner with ministry, we look for covenant partners all over, even as you want to sow the seed. You can go on that website, and you can get all the information you need for us. Come on, be a part of the ministry that's growing. God is taking us somewhere, and we would love to fellowship and worship with you. There's no walls in this ministry. This is a ministry without walls. Now, let me get to today's lesson right quick. Oh, my time is trying to get away from me. How you all doing out there in radio broadcasting land? We're going to talk about a subject that is dear to my heart today. I guess you said that's all of them. Yeah, you're about right. That is all of the Word of God. We want to go back and deal with in the book of Luke, but we want to with Apostle Luke in the book of Acts, and we want to talk about how Peter and them gained that confidence and witness. Our lesson is that you must be confident in the witness for the Lord. That's a lot of time that we go out and do work for God, and we go out on our mission statement, and we worse than most salesmen knock on your door. Now, I say some organization, I'm not going to be, but I got to say them, there are some organizations that have this down pat. They go out and they're consistent going out to the neighborhood and talking about their religion. But what the saints of God would sit there and not say anything about the miracles, the breakthroughs, the testimony that God has given them in their body, in their relationship, in their finance, on their job. They won't, but they'll tell a neighbor or friend, a girlfriend, somebody they know that's close by, but they will go out to strangers and give them a word of hope, a word of encouragement, and go out and bless them in the way that God blessed them. We got to be confident in being a witness for God. See, we can't be a fair-weather saint. We can't be talking about God when things are just going good. We got to be able to talk about God when things look like they finna hit rock bottom. We got to be able to stand firmly on the rock that God built the church on, the confession that came out of Peter's mouth. Good God of mine. See, it wasn't Peter talking about what he said, because that word came from the Lord. It was on that confession the church will build on. And once we learn how to repent wholehearted and walk in the trueness of God and get out ourselves, we make better men and women of God, children of God here. So let's see this here. God, right, at this time, had just used Peter and John to heal a beggar in his 40s who has been lame from birth. The spectacle of this man walking and leaping and praising God drew a crowd. Anytime that God works a miracle, anytime that God do things for you, you can expect the crowd to come. And don't get so excited that thinking everybody is happy and loving on you when this happens. No, all the people that come to spectate on seeing what God has done for you are not your friends. Your enemies, time they hear that something good is happening in your life, they come up. You say, wow, where they been so long? And all of a sudden they pop up.
Satan
would send the adversary just for that occasion to see how strong you really are. Did God really do this? Are you really who you say you are in God? You got to be one of this rascal, this Satan. He is very crafty. So everybody looking at how this man for 40 years was not able to walk. Now he's walking, he's running, he's leaping, he's excited. In other words, he's getting praises to God. He's worshiping God wholehearted. Now everybody want to know, how did this happen? See, you'd be able to be amazed. There are some people, when God moves in your life and you give God the honor and praise, they are going through some stuff themselves. They ain't trying to see you happy. No, not for real. Don't believe the hype on that. You got to be able to take it with a grain of salt. See, you got to be able to try spirits by spirit. Why all of a sudden that these things will happen? Why all of a sudden now you want to get on the bandwagon? No. You got to watch this and see. The person don't understand most of the time they do things because Satan uses what he can to get to you. And you got to be able to understand the spirit on how the spirit operates. You won't be able to understand the spirit because you think it is a good gesture. Now, let me get back to this. I can go a whole lot of places with that. So perhaps the main message John Peter in responding to the crowd says Acts, right? 4:1 says, as they were speaking to the people, suddenly they were interrupted as the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducee came upon them, extremely upset that they were teaching the people on proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. See, let me show you something. The biggest people that you're going to always have a problem with is church folks. Because church folk who can read a few scriptures, who say, now I got my life right, going to always come up and try to see what's going on. This is the word. This is what has been happening from the beginning, since the trouble in the garden with Adam and Eve. From this day forward with Adam and Eve, this is how the trickle-down effect of Satan has gotten to the body of Christ. I'm going to get in more of this here. I'm going to try to stay at home all the way in this here today. Just give me a little more time, and I'm almost finished. So when we look at this here, right, they come up, they get mad because they talking about Jesus. So they arrested Peter and John, put them in jail overnight, and the next day brought them in front of the Jewish centurion. You got to understand this thing here. This thing here is unbelievable. It said, although they were on trial before this imitation council, Peter quickly turned the table. See, sometimes you got to know how to turn the tables back on the devil. You need to ask the devil, well, why all of a sudden you feeling this way? Why all of a sudden now that's great interest in what's going on? Why do you not want me to proclaim the name of Jesus? Why is now I seem so important to you that you want my attention to do what you want me to do? Man, this ain't here. God, you know what? I got to first apologize for all the things that you have done and show in the great spirit of discernment that the man of God overlooked in this period of time. It's unbelievable. And I really, really, really have to repent hard. Because this doesn't make sense on some things here. The more that we get into our lesson, the more things get revealed. And we take God for granted. We take the things that God, when I say for granted, we will set them aside and go on about our way and shake our head and say, no, we have to be strong and stand up and tell people what's right or wrong at the very beginning. We can't wait and let it build up. Say, I'm wrong for that. We can't wait and let it build up, and then you try to correct the problem. No, they ain't going to hear. They ain't going to have that, because it's going to be a conflict. It's going to be confusing. It's going to come out of some kind of way. But when God has given you the insight to do the thing first, that's when you need to do it. I promise from this day forward that I would never overlook what God has told me to do. I would say what God has told me to say, whether people like it or not. Let me just show you some stuff. So Peter turned the tables on the Sanhedrin, showing that it was they who were on trial. So he pointed out that it was not a crime to do a good deed to a cripple. Then he indicted the Sanhedrin because they had crucified Jesus, whom God has raised from the dead, and whose name that the lame man was healed. See, look at this here, right? See, I got to talk to somebody here. If you're going through something, if you got an affliction, you can't do it, can't go through it, you can't get healed without the name of Jesus. We all know that. But your faith has to be able to connect with the anointing. See, when your faith and the anointing connect together, there is power in the words that speak out of your mouth. You can call those things as they are. You got to understand this here. Without this particular kind of faith, the elders could not give what? A good report. And then, secondly, if without this type of faith, it was unpleasing to God. Because God is a rewarder for those who, what? Seek him diligently. So Peter then was confident in the witness for Jesus, because they have now had evidence of the work that God has done, Jesus has done on earth. Not only the evidence, but in the word of God, they was more grounded and mature enough to handle this type of situation. See, a lot of situations that we go through in our life, we are not mature enough to handle them. I did a message one time, once before, and I'm understanding something now even more, that's an anointing in us that we have to stir up with our faith so it'll help us mature enough to handle our calling. Wow, Jesus. Ooh, I'm not trying to get off of this. Let me stay, please, Lord. I'm feeling something here, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm feeling something here because I didn't see this when I ministered a few months ago. It said, furthermore, Peter let them know that there is salvation in no one else. In other words, you cannot get your salvation because it is a gift. The gift only comes from the name of Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. That's 4:12. It said, so the members of this council, they was amazed at the confidence of Peter and John. See, the enemy, if you're not confident, let me just say, if you're not confident in what God is doing in your life or what God has done for you, if you can't stand on the promise of God and you can't stay there and God has blessed you, you can't stand firm on the promise of God and you get women and say, I don't know, you mess yourself up. That's the word the enemy looked to come in and attack you. That's the word the enemy come in. Let me be the first one to testify. I'm the blame of a lot of stuff that has transpired in my life way before this point in my life now, because I said I didn't know. So the first person that I ministered to has to be me. I have to convict myself because I have to learn how to not never put I don't know in there. God didn't give us I don't know. We have to be confident that God given us we need to stand on the promise of God. This is what Peter and John done. They did this. Watch this. who has been educated, well, who has not been educated, what, in the rabbi schools. When the council saw the man who had been healed standing there, in other words, that was proof. That's a positive proof that God has done. When the enemy see the work of God in your life, when the enemy see how, man, the enemy see that the promise, what the promise of God has done in your life, the blessing of God has done in your life, how God has moved you from one place in the next. That's proof. Now the enemy's job now is to shake the proof. If the enemy can shake you, they got you. I know I can tell you this. Many times in business, many times in soccer, many times in basketball, many times in ministry, that things have come up against me. And I gave, well, let me see. I don't know. In other words, I gave the enemy an opportunity to knock me down. You can't give an enemy no chance to knock you down. You got to know how to ride it out to the bitter end. You got to, because the storm comes to shape you. I'm going to get this paraphrasing, and I got to finish up this thing. See, one thing I learned about the eagle will look at the storm and don't run away from the storm. The eagle flies directly into the storm because the eagle is trying to get in the middle of the storm. In the middle of the storm, the eagle knows there's peace there. And they know that all the things, in other words, the load that the eagle been carrying, all the dead weight, the feathers, all the dead feathers the eagle been flying with, it's time for a new, the eagle go to the middle of the storm so all the dead weight can come out of him. And once the eagle get all of the dead, what the old feathers come off of him, all that old dead weight off of him, then he catch the what? He catch the jet screen and soar to a new height. God of mine. See, one thing about the eagle was he can't stay in the valley. And when men and women God allow their brothers and sisters to stay in the valley and don't help them, that's a bad sign. Because one thing eagles do for each other, if another eagle see an eagle in the valley, the other eagle will come to his rescue. He won't go down there, but he will drop food down there to strengthen his body. What are you talking about, Elder Tony? See, because if the eagle stays in the valley too long, there is a core crust that comes on his beak. And if that crust come on his beak too thick, he cannot lift his head up. Y'all don't want to talk to me up in here. He cannot lift his head up to soar. So what the other eagle does, is drop food down there. Strong enough, good God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. That's a revelation coming out of this thing now. Strong enough for the eagle to what? To look around and climb to what? To the highest peak in the valley. See, one thing about it is you got to know where to look up in the valley to the highest peak so you can climb your way out of that thing. See, once you climb your way out of that thing, then you can mount up and renew your strength. You got to understand what Isaiah says. You can mount up and renew your strength. The eagle knows he can got to climb to the highest point. In other words, just like Elijah was running from Jezebel, Elijah ran deeper and deeper into the valley. God did not give him a spiritual growth right then. What God turned around did was fed him first because he had to take care of his physical body so he would be able to go forward to finish out the battle. But what Elijah didn't understand was that God is still was in the way being because he didn't see him in the fire, because he didn't see him in the rain, because he didn't see him in the storm. God was still there with him all the time. What the problem with us is whenever we get into the midst of something, we always alienate and won't stand firm because we feel that we don't see God in our God. Well, anytime that you get blessed, you're going to have some adversaries coming at you. Don't think you're going to live off and it's going to be all right. No, ma'am, no, sir. It does not work that. Blessings come with adversaries. Good God of mine. You went from the eagle to Elijah. Now, you talk about the blessing. Yeah, because God was blessing first. And when he was blessing Elijah did not see what happened to Elijah when Jezebel told him. He said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, So Elisha started fearing and started doubting God. And so he ran to what? To the deep in the valley, deep in the desert, to get away from Jezebel. And he stayed there a period of time. So God had to nurture him back. With the same thing with the eagle. The eagle, when it gets caught up in the mess, in the valley, it needs help. And it has to be fed physically so it have enough strength to climb so it can mount up and soar to new heights. God Almighty. Somebody going to catch this thing here. Whenever God is blessing you, you got to look forward to the tribulation. Because the tribulation is what is going to take you and whom you, whatever you're going through, if you're in a relationship, it's going to take you to a new height. You can't run from it. It strengthens you. You're in ministry, it strengthens you. You're on your job, it strengthens you. The affliction in your body, it's going to strengthen you. It's going to take you to a new height. It didn't come to kill you. It come to get you stronger. What are you saying, Ellen? See, you got to understand here. Peter there was not intimidated by this counsel. So when they had the man, the proof of the healing, they had nothing else to say. After a private comfort, Luke may have learned other detail, what, from Paul or Joseph or Ammonite or even Nicodemus. The council command Peter and John not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Look now, you can go ahead and do whatever you want to. You can preach the gospel. You ain't go to our school. You can teach it. But you can't do it in the name of Jesus. Because we understand now, this is what the devil understands. If you do it in the name of Jesus, something got to happen. A turnaround is going to happen. When you start calling on the name of Jesus, things start turning around for you. I bind everything, every witchcraft that come up in the midst of ministry. I have tried to come against anything that I have done, whether it's relationship, whether it's finance, whether it's health, whether it's my family, my loved one. I bind it up right now. If it's your loved ones, I bind it up right now in the name of Jesus. That it is so. That it come to pass right now, today. See, the enemy won't want you to claim healing in the name of Jesus. He don't want you to claim deliverance in the name of Jesus. He don't want you to claim breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Good God Almighty. He don't want to tell you, he don't want your ministry to preach repentance, holiness, and righteousness. It don't want your minister to do that. It don't want your minister to win souls by any cost. It don't want your minister to go out and do that. No, ma'am. What I would do today, reply, they had to what? Obey God. I got to obey God, man. I can't get into where y'all at. I can't get caught up in where you're trying to take me at. It sound good, it look good, and yes, one point in time, all of that was right. But I got to obey God. And since I got to obey God, I got to stand firmly on this rock. And since see, this is one of the biggest problems. This word is going to bring about a change in your life. Because if you have done something that was not of God, it's going to bring conviction. There has to be a turnaround when you hear this word. Because this word cannot go out void. He said, but I got to obey God. Because they could not stop speaking what they have seen and heard. If you have seen God work and you have heard about the blessings of God, how are you going to stop preaching and teaching and testifying to the things that you have served? The proof. It's the truth. And after further warning, the council let them go. Since the crowd was glorifying God on account of this miracle, they let them go. While Peter and John had to be commanded to stop speaking, most of us need to be reminded of the command to speak to others about Christ. See, you old fair-weather, modern-day Christians today, as y'all call yourself, y'all think Jesus was great commission. It was really something great to suggest. You got these young folks today to think, oh, that was my mama and grandmama relationship, grandfather thing, but that ain't how we roll today. Well, you need to roll like that today. You're going through so much stuff. Because
Because the world is dictating to you how you should serve God. The world is dictating to you how to stop chasing the blessings of God and chase the vision. Because God don't make us provision. He don't make us a vision. He's the visionaire. And we on a provision of the vision that he's given us. So we got to understand how to do what God has ordained us to do. And he didn't give us to do it alone. He gave us to do it together so that it'll be good for what? Kingdom building. God Almighty. That's what the word says. You ain't got to get mad at Elatona because Elatona going to preach this now. He's going to preach the end season now. So he said, are we thinking it's prior to a mission or a great persecution? I cannot stop speaking about what I have seen and heard. I can't. If we are prone to be timely witness of Christ, we should pray that the Lord will give us confidence and boldness that we need to speak out for Christ, even when we suffer for it. We got to be willing to go all the way. I'm suffering now. But if you think I'm going to stop, you got to be a confidence witness. And one thing about confidence witness, there ain't no bougie confidence witness. They are actually filled with the Holy Ghost. See, let me show you this, and I'm getting off this now. See, the enemy, the spirits, cannot attack you once you've been fed with the Holy Ghost. They can't stay. But what you can do is be influenced by them to act in a certain way. Once you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, the demonic spirit cannot enter. The problem with most people, they have not been filled with the Holy Ghost. So the spirit enter in. I'm talking to somebody on this line today. The spirit enter in, and once the spirit enter in, it wreaks havoc. But it cannot enter in long as you are filled with the Holy Ghost. It only tried to influence you. So you give the spirit, you give the demonic spirit too much credit. Tell somebody I got to keep my confidence. I got to keep my confidence. So when we look at this, we need to understand how threatening it was for Peter and John. We need to understand the things that we have to go through for the body of Christ. I want to take this time out to thank you all once again for your time. Oh, God has been doing wonders. And you all keep me in prayer. Keep me lifted up, my loved ones, my family, lifted up at the time that we're going through. I thank God for you. May God keep you and hold you all is my prayer. And remember to go to www.up-tm.org. Send in your prayer requests and minute requests. And we thank you all for all overseas. I looked at the demographic, and I feel so bad for being away from you all for so long that over in Europe and in France and in UK and even in China and a little in Russia that we have been getting a lot of people to tune in to the message. And that says a lot. When I looked at that, and I had to repent from all of this. I've been in repentance mode for a while. I just hope God continue to have mercy on me and continue to move in my favor and continue to turn things around for me. In Jesus' name is my prayer. Amen.